In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
So have you ever been talking to someone about something important or heartfelt, and you get your thought out from the depth of your being, and when you finish your thought, the person responds in a completely disconnected way? The wrong kind of response, an abrupt change of subject, something that has nothing to do with what you just finished saying from your heart. And not because they didn't hear you. I'm talking about where they heard you, and you can tell they either weren't listening to what you were saying, you know, their mind was elsewhere, and they were just waiting for you to stop talking so they could say what they want, or they were listening, and they either just didn't get the depth of what you were saying, or worse, they don't care. For example, you say something like, "I'm really worried about Dad. Something seems terribly wrong." And their response, "Do you think you'd be willing to help me fix the deck tomorrow?" Or you say, "I want to tell you just how important you are to my life." And the person responds, "How do you like pea pods as a vegetable?" We've all been there. Probably on both sides, if we're going to be honest. Now, in today's gospel, we get a familiar story. Jesus tells of a wealthy man who had all his comforts, all his wealth, and more, and decides that instead of sharing of his good fortune, he's just going to build bigger barns to store his stuff for himself so he can eat and drink and be merry. Little does he know that today's his last day on earth, and when he meets God, God says, "You fool." Now, I don't know about you, but that's not the first thing I'm hoping to hear out of God's mouth when I get to the other side. "You fool." Be that as it may, today I don't so much want to talk about the parable per se, as I want to see why Jesus is telling it in the first place. There's a context here, and I don't want to just pick the parable out of its context. What happened is, just a few verses before, Jesus had just finished teaching about how much more important the value of your soul is than your flesh. And Jesus had mentioned, just before, he mentions that when you are delivered up to persecution, do not be afraid, for the Holy Spirit will fill you at that very hour. Now, when Jesus tells you that you might face persecution for your faith, and when you do, that the Holy Spirit will be with you in your final hour, what would be your response? What would be a good response? Well, if in the gospel, the person responds, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." See it from the Lord's perspective. You say, "My beloved, persecutions are sure to come. But in that hour, in that crucial moment, the Holy Spirit will fill you." And the person responding says, "Tell my brother to share his money with me." You'd be like, "Did you hear what I just said?" The response is so completely disconnected from what Jesus is saying. It's totally the wrong kind of response. Either the man wasn't listening, or he doesn't care. And that's the context in which Jesus tells the story of the rich man who built bigger barns just before he dies. It's because this one man wasn't listening or didn't care about eternal things. Now today we are just a couple of days into Advent, that time, that season to prepare to encounter God coming as a little child in Bethlehem, to realize that Emmanuel means God with us, that God has come to a lonely and dark and confused world. And he comes in the most humble way possible. God is born as the infant Jesus Christ. And he comes to show us the path of agape, to show us the path of complete and sacrificial love. And Advent is given to us as a gift and as a time to really prepare to make room for the Savior in my heart. And now the church has a prescription to make the reception of the Savior possible. The church's prescription is, during this time of preparation, restrain your appetites, give and serve, pray and worship, and be thankful and content. And the ironic thing is like the person who isn't listening, the world responds in a completely disconnected way. If we're honest, we often respond in a completely disconnected way too. The church prescribes a fast. The world says, gorge yourself. The church asks us to give and serve the less fortunate. The world says, make sure you get what you want. The church invites us to pray and worship. The world says, shop and party and rinse and repeat. The church says, be thankful and content. The world says, you need stuff that yesterday you didn't even know existed. Now, the big question is, why? Why does the church prescribe the Advent fast for us? It's because the Lord comes with a still, small voice. As an infant, God comes with a voice of silence, absolute silence. He comes with peace, which requires introspection. For this time, for at least this moment in your life, to hear and examine your innermost being. You know, Jesus comes to soothe and to heal and to forgive that innermost being and to give the gift of more abundant life. And that cannot happen if my soul is in pursuit of noise and self-service and empty calories. And so the second big question is, if the church is bringing us such an important and eternal gift and is calling us to prepare ourselves for this gift, why is the world's response so completely disconnected from that message? It's the same two possibilities. Either the world isn't listening at all, or the world is listening and just doesn't care. The world doesn't care about God with us. The world doesn't care about soothing and healing and forgiving our innermost being. The world doesn't care whether or not you receive the gift of more abundant life. And the last thing the world wants is for you to simplify your life and soul for 40 days in order to receive that more abundant life. But you and me, you and I, we have a choice. Emmanuel is coming, God with us. The voices of the people of God are calling us to prepare and to receive this gift of gifts and this King of Kings who brings abundant life. Have you ever been talking to someone about something important and heartfelt, and when you finish your thought, they respond in a completely disconnected way? Don't be that person. Don't be that person. When the church calls us to this Advent time of preparation, respond as someone who is listening and as someone who cares. Amen.
Amen.